in one of my nature books, I saw a butterfly flying very elegantly in the breeze, and then alighting or landing on a, we say a German Butterblume, it's a dandelion in blossom. And I thought that's a very nice analogy of attention. The butterfly very softly lands, and it can taste the flower very, very nicely. But imagine a rhinoceros would land on the same butterfly. It would squash on the same butterflower. It would squash it. So by this forced attention, you know, where you just bring all your mental power there, it is, you can sometimes ruin the experience of chanting by just being too much into the, how do you say, developing almost an inner spasm, an innere Verkrampfung. And no, that is not so nice. You can squash the experience of chanting. It's no longer devotional. It loses its particular element of bhakti as relishing devotion. But if you very softly, like a butterfly, land, then it's a very different story. So as you engage in chanting, you will soon find out that by too much force, you are really adopting the mentality of the doer, or the mentality of the maker of an experience. But if you just very softly bring your attention there and stay with it, and so to say, enter the stream of nectar, and just make sure you are present and not absent to the experience, you can really experience the force of the mantra as, you know, detaching you naturally from the matter and your material desires, and bringing you to an experience of relishing the beautiful nature of the chanting. Please try this. There's a lot of wisdom in it. I'm explaining in very modern terms the ancient knowledge of abhyasa and vairagya and these things we learn from the Gita. I want today tell you a Krishna katha. And I felt very inspired by what His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj shared with us this morning. He said, Krishna consciousness is about investing our emotions with Radha and Krishna. Or he spoke of Krishna. Most of us are with our emotions in the world. You know, either we are feeling very strongly for a project we want to finish, or we feel very strongly for our family members, we feel strongly for certain relationships which are important to us. We feel strongly for many things in the world, and in this way, when our emotion remains invested in the world, we are really more participating in the material world than in the spiritual world. Now, Krishna appears from time to time and displays His wonderful pastimes so that we can connect with our emotions through the process of hearing about His pastimes with Krishna. And in this way, We are pulled out of our material entanglement and material entangling feelings, and we are then together with Krishna. This is why Prabhupada says the most powerful method in this age of Kali is to hear Krishna Katha. He says at other times to chant the holy name, but in the third canto we also find him extolling or glorifying the process of Katha, hearing, not talking about Krishna based on the real knowledge from the spiritual scriptures, and and then hearing it as a service. Both speaker and listener engage in this devotional service to Krishna. And as you hear with attention, again the word is attention, this from the Padma Purana, as you hear with attention, with total inner presence, you will feel how your emotions are, without you even noticing it, they are drawn from the objects of the world, where you have invested them, and they brought to Krishna. One thing you must know, whenever you invest your emotions into things of the world, and you finally obtain them, and you have some enjoyment, this enjoyment, as the Buddha would say, is only a loan, ein Darlehen, sagt man in Schweizerdeutsch. You will have to pay back the loan eventually. For whatever enjoyment you get in this world, you also have to give the exact opposite. It's just, whenever I pick up a coin, I can look at the head, but I have also picked up the tail. I have picked it up, and one day the coin will turn in my face. I wanted to see only the head, I see the tail. This is a rule of this world, and it is not a cruel world, it's just because things in this world, whatever they are, relationships, houses, investments, they do have another side. As we are in the land of Sige Jung, as Sige Jung said, without the day you cannot have the night, and without the night you cannot have the day. Beide bedingen sich gegenseitig. That's a very difficult way to say in English. Both are bringing the other, the opposite with it. That means dualistic world. I think you've heard this, no? Dual world. So therefore, it's so nice if we can exit this world, if we can really go to the holy name or to Krishna personally. And this is what I want to do now with you. My band has to still be ready. Jai Gopal and Gokrishna, be ready. And when I say meditate, you cannot meditate, you have to watch. My dear devotees, for those who are foolish and unintelligent, they do not know how to invest their emotions in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I'm always covered by my internal potency, and therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. One of these foolish people with whom Krishna engaged in his pastime was Indra. We will visit Indra in the heavenly planets. He sits there on his throne. He has requested everyone to leave the hall. On this day, Indra doesn't even find pleasure in Ramba and Urvasi, the two heavenly damsels, who with their bodily forms have bewildered even the greatest ascetics and yogis. When Ramba had come that morning to Indra, trying to lift his mood by dancing a particularly enthralling dance, Indra had just put his hand on his head in his head and had said like this, "Go, go, I'm not in the mood." Later that day, Narada Muni came. When he entered the hall, he saw it was empty. There was only Indra sitting morose on the throne, totally lost in the spiral of negative emotions. Have you ever been in that spiral? You start on one point, and then it goes down, 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 until nothing is good any longer, not even the Bhakti retreat in Kintal. Everything is black and depressive. This is when you enter the downward leading spiral of negative emotions. One emotion brings another one, another one, another one. Nothing is all right, and Sachinandan Swami is bad. Yes, this is. Indra was in this mood. Oh, he was really depressive. Narada Muni said, what happened to you? Nothing, said Indra. Come on, Indra, tell me, why is your mind full of negativity and depression? Indra said, I'm one of those fools. When Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, is in his supremely charming form as Bal Govinda, I committed an offense against him. In fact, I attacked those who were most dear to him, his cows and the people of Braj, with dangerous clouds. The Samvataka was amongst them to destroy them and torture them. And therefore, I was covered, like Krishna says in the Gita, with his eternal potency, so that I could not understand that he is infallible and unborn. Oh yes, said Narada Muni, I remember that. It's when you, that was when the Govardhan Leela started. Yes, for you the Govardhan Leela started. You are a devotee. For me, a chastisement started because I turned against the Lord. If I could only once in my life see the supremely attractive form of Krishna as he interacts with his mother and his cowherd boyfriends, as a playful little boy, at once very sweet and clever, then my life would be fulfilled. But as long as I cannot see my Lord, the feeling of guilt will eat me alive, and I will remain morose. Oh, said Narada Muni, you want to see Bal Krishna, but now he is a grown-up prince in Dwaraka. I know, said Indra. But Krishna is Krishna, said Narada Muni. Let me see what I can do. But please have your mobile telephone on all the time. Oh, sorry, this is modern. I'm trying to become modern. Always be alert, because I will call you when Krishna takes on the form of Bal Govinda. Wow, said Indra. If you can do that, my happiness will know no end. So Narada Muni is a transcendental agent who always appears in Krishna Leela, and by his words and his arrangement, he goes and tells someone something and another something else, and then something happens and a drama develops, and then Krishna responds to this, what his dear devotee created. So Narada Muni immediately went to Dwaraka, to Devaki, and said, Devaki, why are you so forgetful? What have I forgotten? Said Devaki. Remember, Devaki, when you were in the prison, you prayed to the devatas that they would save your little Shishu, means little boy, from the hands of Kamsa. And you said, dear Agnidev, dear Vayudev, dear Indradev, if you can arrange that my son is not killed by Kamsa like he killed all my other children, then I will make a great yagya and satisfy you all. Do you remember that? Oh, said Devaki, yes, I remember it, and I have totally forgotten. I have not done this yagya. Yes, said Narada Muni, therefore, I'm reminding you to make this yagya. Oh, very nice, said Devaki. I now have money, I have palaces, I have everything. I can make a big yagya in Kurukshetra. And you, Narada Muni, should invite everyone. At this moment, there was a loud noise. No, 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 not everyone. And supporting herself with a stick, the senile mother of Kamsa, Padmavati, I think is her name, entered and said, Narada Muni can invite everyone to the yagya, but not the Brijbasis. Because these rascal Brijbasis, first of all, there are two of them who claim to be Krishna's mother and father, whereas the whole world knows it's Devaki and Vasudev. Then, these Brijbasis made Krishna work so hard in the fields, and they didn't even give him shoes. He had to go barefoot. As his musical instruments, he played a bamboo flute. And this Brijbasis, they didn't even feed him. That's why Krishna had to always steal butter to maintain his health. This is why the Brijbasis are rascals and they cannot be invited to this. Yeah, yeah. Oh, say Devaki, you are the respectable old elder here. You are the wife of the king, Ugrasena. Your order shall be done. So Narada Muni, go out, invite everyone except for these people which Padmavati has spoken about. Narada Muni said, wonderful. And he went immediately to Vrindavan, to Braj. How did Vrindavan look like? The Gopachampu describes when Krishna left Vrindavan, the life left Vrindavan. The trees started to look pale. The cows did not eat. They kept the last fodder or grass which Krishna had given them personally the day before he left. They kept that in the mouth and didn't swallow it. The cowherd boys were in the valleys by Govardhan, lying on the ground. And Nanda and Yashoda had never cooked again since Krishna left Vrindavan. So when Narada Muni came to Vrindavan, he saw Vrindavan desolated. He went until he found someone who was dressed very badly. He said, "Where do I find the king and queen of Vrindavan?" This person said, "Do you see this channel there?" "Yes," said Narada Muni, and he had some feeling that some drama would be there. "This channel is a channel of tears. It's from the tears that Nanda and Yashoda cry. You just follow by the bank of that channel, and where it ends is the house of Nanda and Yashoda." Oh, Narada Muni now felt emotionally very, very sad, because he knew what he would say to Nanda and Yashoda. So he went, and there were two personalities sitting in the courtyard meditating, Nanda and Yashoda. How did they look? Sehr abgemagert, very emaciated. He said, "Nanda, Yashoda." Slowly they came out of them, deep meditation in the trance of Krishna Samadhi. They said, "Nanda and Yashoda, my dear Nanda and Yashoda, your son Krishna is well." "Whoa, he's well, tell us." "Yeah, well, he's the prince of Dwaraka. He lives in 16,000 palace." "Wow, that's Krishna." "And everyone likes him." "Yes, that's our son. He's all attractive. He seems to like also everyone, but he seems to have forgotten his parents." And Narada said, "Well, he is going to make a big yajna. Devaki has arranged to say gratitude to the devatas who protected him." "Oh, how nice. Where is the yajna?" "It's in Kurukshetra," said Narada Muni. "Kurukshetra? That's only a day travel from Vrindavan. We are going to see Krishna." Said Narada, "I'm here on the order of a queen, Devaki. Everyone is invited, but you are not invited. You cannot come." The moment Yashoda Maya heard she cannot come and see Krishna, she began to cry and cry, and like a bird who was shot by an arrow, she waved and tumbled and fell to the ground. But Nanda was by her side and caught her and said, "Yashoda, no need to act so emotionally. Krishna is our son. When the son makes a celebration, the parents are normally invited. They can normally come. You can also normally come." I think Ekanta Sevika, if Jai Gopal makes a celebration, you don't have to ask, "Am I invited or not?" You are of course invited, because you are the mother. So in the same way, yeah, Nanda Maharaj said to Yashoda, "We don't need an invitation. We are his parents. We come." Soon the news spread, and all of Vrindavan heard. Krishna is nearby. The parrots heard it. The cows heard it. The cowherd boys heard it. The trees heard it. Every one of Krishna's devotees was quickly informed. The gopis heard it. Srimati Radhika heard it. And they all came to life just by the knowledge Krishna is nearby. And they dressed and they started in a most colorful procession of bullock carts where they loaded heaps of sandesh and Krishna's favorite milk sweets like rasagula and so burfi, sandesh, what else? Rasamalai, of course, and butter sprinkled with mishri, with sugar. They all brought this in huge quantities on their bullock carts. They didn't ask how will Krishna eat it. Krishna is Krishna. So this procession was there. In the meantime, unknown to the Brijbasis, a huge yagya took place in Kurukshetra. There were tents, there were elephants, there was cavalry, there were soldiers, and in the center of all these festivities, there was a fenced-in area, eine von einem Zaun abgesperrtes Gebiet, and there was high security around it, and in the center of this area was a huge yagya going on. And Krishna sat there with a turban, and he took the spoon as the Brahmanas guided him and poured the spoon into the yagya fire while chanting Agni Deva Swaha, Vayudev Swaha, Indradev Swaha. And he did everything like the Brahmana said. He was very composed. He was regal. He was the prince of Dvaraka. And it was his yagya under the guidance of Devaki to say thank you to the Devatas. That was a huge affair. My dear devotees, you have never seen such a yagya. The flames were very high. There were jewels put into the fire. There were ghee, barley, cloth, silken cloth, gold. It was really a big fire because during a fire yagya, Agni Deva carries the offerings from this plane, the earthly plane, to the plane of the Devatas, where all the things which are thrown into the fire become manifested to the Devatas in a purified form. So all this was going on, a big, big commotion. All of a sudden, my dear devotees, a big commotion started, eine Unruhe. It all started on the western gate. The guards saw small little boys, colorful, joyful, chanting, Gopal, Gopal, running towards the western gate. And the guard said, no one can come here. No one can come here. Who are you? We are the friends of Krishna, and we want to see Krishna. You are friends of Krishna. You look like village boys. Krishna has only rich aristocratic friends. You'd say a lie. Stay out. Then something happened on the western. Western, a moment. Western, what is the opposite? No, eastern gate, something. Northern gate. The northern gate star. There were young boys, well-behaved. They carried in their hands pots with crystal clear water. They had fans. And the guard stopped them. Stop, you can't go through this gate. There's a yagya going on. Who are you? We are the servants of Krishna, said Raktak and Patrak. We will see our master. You, the servants are inside. already. They're the servants of the prince of Dvarakak. Stop, stop. Then on the southern gates, a procession of very beautiful young girls who had an effulgence and who were led by a person who looked like the embodiment of all goddesses. They came and the guard said, stop, 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 stop. You can't go inside. Who are you? And Lalita said, we are Krishna's friends. Friends? What is this? Krishna is married, no? To the queens. And he has no girlfriends. Then Lalita wanted to argue, but the goddess who was veiled made a motion and Lalita stopped. At that time, a commotion came in the, what was it, the southern gate. A man and a lady, middle-aged, they could be the parents of Krishna, so old. No, the man was a little older. Came, and there were other elderlies. They were dressed like cowherd boys. They came, and Mother Yashoda was the lady. She came to the guards, and the guards said, stop, who are you? This is a troublesome time. We are the parents of Krishna, said Nanda Maharaj. Parents? This is too much. This is a cursed day. First there are friends who are not friends, servants who are not servants, ladies who are not related to our prince of Dvaraka, and now you say parents. At that moment, Padmavati, the old senile lady, said, these are the Brijbasis. I told you they are troublemakers. At this moment, Narada Muni came. What is the unruh here, the problem here? Padmavati said, the Brijbasis have come. And what are they saying? Well, said Padmavati, these two people dare to say they are the parents of Krishna, while the whole world knows, including the Hare Krishna movement, that Devaki and Vasudev are the parents of Krishna. Oh, said Narada Muni, we must make the parent test. What is the parent test? Let me explain. Each one of the mothers should call for Krishna. The child always responds to his real mother. The child never responds to his false mother. So let Devaki call out for Krishna and let us see what happens. Devaki was there and she looked towards the fire. There was Krishna. He was very absorbed. He put the ghee into the fire. The brahmanas told him, say swaha, 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 swaha. He did everything. So Devaki at that moment called Krishna. No reaction. Krishna! No reaction. Swaha, swaha, swaha. Krishna! No reaction. Devaki said, it's too loud. He doesn't hear. Narada said, this is the first part of the parent test. Now the second part. Yashoda, you call. Yashoda was so distraught. She was there at the fence. Finally, Krishna was a few hundred meters, 100 meters maybe, away from her. And here were the guards who was telling her she could not see Krishna. He was all these royal people, all these elephants, all this military. She was not accustomed to it. She was at the verge of an emotional breakdown. She could only whisper, Kanai. Kanai is an affectionate name she used in Vrindavan. As soon as this whisper, Kanai, came, Krishna started to look around. Who? Who? The Brahmana said, Swaha. Agnideva Swaha. Then Krishna, then Yashoda, with the last amount of her strength, whispered, Kanai. At that moment, Krishna began to run. And when he started to run, Narada Muni shouted, Indra, Indra, now, now, now. And Indra came down like a flash of lightning. He stood there and he watched something which was so beautiful, my dear devotees, something so absolutely mysterious, something so absolutely invigorating to our bhakti. Krishna, the prince of Dwaraka, started to run. His turban began to shake and fall off. His garments were flowing as he was running towards the southern gate. And as he was running, all of a sudden, zhoop, he slipped into the form of a little boy. A boy a little bit like this, with locks of hair, eyes which darted chum, 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 back and forth, holding a bamboo flute. He was not dressed, he had only here around the belly a little rope, and here a tiger claw, which Yashoda put for protection. He was running, and there was a peacock feather on his the top of his hair, you know, like this. It was quivering in the wind. And he ran, and he shouted, Ma! 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 And all the people saw this. The Yagya stopped as a little boy, so attracting and fascinating, ran in a zigzag, avoiding all the guards and running through the legs of the guards. Then jumping onto Mother Yashoda and holding her on the neck and just crying. Krishna cried so much, Ma, Ma, Ma. And Mother Yashoda patted him. It's all right, it's all right. And it was a scene of parental bhava, of the moods of parents, which is just so enchanting. Krishna was back with his parents, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Indra saw this scene and saw, wow, I see now a scene of real love. Real love where everything, all the emotions are manifested in deep attraction, affection, security, and so on. And he was fully, fully satisfied. My dear devotees, how do you explain this? Well, there is one verse in the 10th canto which describes that Krishna is different things for different people. In other words, he manifests himself according to the emotions which these people have. That is clear when he entered with a very joyful step into the arena of Kamsa. At that time, the man of Mathura saw him as the supreme male. The yogis who sat there saw him as the absolute truth. And the normal people saw him as you and me see him right now, the universal form who has manifested all of this mountain wonders. These are the bones of the Lord in his universal form. The girls, the ladies saw him as the most attractive man, Cupid, the god of love personified. Who else? The wicked people like Kamsa saw him. Now my death has come. Krishna, in other words, is seen according to how you relate to him. He speaks about this in the Gita. Yeya tamam papatyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. And the way someone surrenders unto him, the Lord reveals and rewards accordingly. So for Nanda and Yashoda, who worship him without awe and reverence, he is the little playful boy who argues with Yashoda for hours, you know, before he does something which Yashoda wants. Vasudev and Devaki, he is the prince. For you and me, he is how you approach him under the guidance. Therefore, my dear devotees, you need to think a little bit about who is Krishna for you. I would like to do a little exercise with you now. I want you to turn to a neighbor, the Matajis to the Mataji neighbors, our men to the men neighbor, and I have a question for you, which you can discuss. Just anyone. It doesn't need to be a very close person who you know very closely. It can be just Manuel for you, for instance. Yeah. Krishna Prema Rupa, hast du schon Nachbarn gefunden? Who of you has not yet found a neighbor? Everyone. So who of you is partner A and who's partner B? Let's start with the A's. Who's A? And who is B? Good, you got it. B starts first. It's very important. Yes. This will be a little sharing exercise. Wait, the task is, who is Krishna for you at this moment of your life? We are in the year 2020, or where are we? 18, sorry. We are in the summertime. Who, when you think now of Krishna, who is he? Not who you would like him to be one day, but who, what is now your relationship with Krishna? I know it's a complex question, but I trust in your honesty. So you have to look deep into the eye of the neighbor and find out, is he really telling the truth or is he telling a concept? Please start now.
Das ist sehr ehrlich, wie du sagst. Genauso muss man scheren, wie du sagst. Ja, ja. Und sehr weit bist du schon, mein Junge. Krishna ist überall, hinterher. Mein Gott, der ist wirklich fortgeschritten. Ja, aber das ist bei ihm so. Er ist nicht, der sagt das nicht so. Hare Krishna. diskutieren? Jaivipan, konntet ihr diskutieren? Konntet ihr diskutieren? Konntet ihr diskutieren? Ja.
Hare Krishna. By the way, that is always very nice if during a retreat you can talk with devotees about such questions. Who is Krishna for you? Or what was your most important Krishna conscious experience during the last half year, for instance, or things like, do you feel you have grown and understood something more? Could you please share this with me? Immediately, the discussion comes to the level of Ishta Gosti, where you are mutually sharing realizations and you are growing with each other. I had today a wonderful forest walk with a devotee where we discussed really the question of how do we move on when the external situation seems to not allow us to make external changes for our life, which we want to do, but how can we still progress? Is there a way? We had different subjects like this. So I always try when I meet with my God brothers to leave the platform of how's the weather, how's your health, and you know, hoi hoi, and so on. It is not as nourishing as these deeper questions which nourish the soul. So doing a bhakti retreat, that is a good way to make most out of the sangha. I would like to now sing with you something, and if you want, sometimes devotees want to go forward in their spiritual life, and they think about smarana, remembrance, then you can focus on a particular theme, that is, remember Krishna in a general way, like maybe as he gets up from the fire and responds to his mother Yashoda's call, how he runs towards her and how he changes in his Bal Govinda form, if you want, or something else. This is called the beginning stages of remembering Krishna or investing our emotions in Krishna. It's a remembering in a general way, as Jiva Goswami says. And other forms of remembrance or meditation quickly grow out of this. But you need to enter somewhere, and let us remember our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj's very wise statement that really where you invest your emotions, that's where you are. I said something similar, it's where your mind is, there you are, but the emotion has more color, it concerns us more as devotees. It has more life, so to say. Hey, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I first heard this Leela when I was sitting in a jeep and was going from Govardhan Mountain to Vrindavan town. Actually, we were on a road, and I remember the sun was setting, and the information was on this road, there were real Gundas. Gundas means robbers, and we decided to go, and they would attack when the sun goes down. That was the information. But we always love bridge Parsis, however they appear. But we said, let's better talk about some Krishna Katha. And one devotee, friend of mine, narrated this, how Indra lamented because due to his, you know, his mind being somewhere else and in his I, me and mine, he felt actually offended by Krishna because Krishna had just taken all the ingredients which were meant to be offered to Indra and taken the same ingredients and offered it to a mountain. And Indra felt offended and called Krishna a talkative child who doesn't know what to say, you know, and so on. And so Indra lamented very much, and he was thinking he missed his chance. But then Narada Muni arranged this transcendental pastime, which you have heard. So I heard this, and then I asked the devotee, from where is this? And he said, Skanda Purana. Now, this you always say when you don't know where something is coming from. Skanda Purana is so big that everything could be in there and you will not even make an endeavor to find it because it's so big. But I actually found this in the Skanda Purana later. And then this summer, when we were in Serbia, one devotee from Bosnia, her name is, I know only that she's the elder sister of Jaigopi. Ananda Vindavan, yes. She had remembered this pastime, which was told in Pula many, many years ago, and had made a stage play from it, which was really so good that all of us who were there stood up at the end and were just shouting Krishna, Gopal. We were really touched. And then I decided to look at this pastime again many years later after, you know, after the road at dusk time where we were fearing the Gundas and we're talking about Krishna. And I was really thinking, as I heard today, we should invest our emotions in Krishna to become Krishna conscious. That this is a very nice continuation of what Maharaj was talking about. I mean, he had talked about several points, but that was one point which I think all of us who were in the audience took note of. I talked with two devotees afterwards, and they remembered actually hearing this, so that is good. When a devotee remembers something, that's a good sign that he put it in a special file. So yes, so that's why I wanted to talk about this. Let me end with a question. What do you think are the distinguishing features which distinguish Braj Krishna from Dvaraka Krishna? I mean, what must he have carried with him which he doesn't carry in Dvaraka? A flute? Then, sweet. I'm sorry. He's more sweet. Yes. Die Rute. Yes, a little stick for controlling cows that he never has as a prince of Dwaraka. Everyone would say, "What do you do with a stick here? It's a palace." Peacock feathers. Someone said, "Yes, come on here." What? He's barefoot, yes. He wants to touch the ground of Vrindavan with his bare foot. It's more intimate. He has a very special exchange, it's very sweet with his devotees. Yeah. Radharani is on his side. Yeah. He has a garland of forest flowers, which he doesn't have in Dwaraka. He has jewels.
His
cowherd friends are there. Yes, they came at one gate. Also, they were here. Yes, yes. Dress. Oh yes, dress. Sorry, I couldn't. Yes, he's dressed. In a very adventurous and creative way.
He's a thief.
He's a thief? Wow. Are you sure that you can say this about the Lord? Yes, he doesn't steal in Dwaraka. I've not heard that he goes into the houses and psh, 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 psh. I'm doing my thing now. Yes, this is certainly it's a distinguishing feature. I mean, imagine the Lord of Dwaraka steals, chariots from the houses of the Kshatriyas, you know, and or weapons or crowns. Yes, you're very nicely. It would be a nice exercise to do like this. Yeah, in Vrindavan he's not married. Well, are you so sure? There are a few leelas, but generally he's not married. But then he does many things. I'm just trying to tease you. Yes. Good, my dear devotees. What do you think about this point, investing your emotions in Krishna? Can you see some value in it, or is it not so? Emotions, what's this? We are here in Switzerland, and we are not a Mataji. You know, that's something for Matajis. My dear devotees, your emotions are really, you can decide, will they be invested in the world entirely, or do you want to invest them in Krishna consciousness thing? And once you say, I like Krishna consciousness, I like to come to the arati, when you have this, you know, it's an emotion, you will see how life takes on first a steady and then a frantic gallop. Also zuerst geht das Leben in einem stetigen Galopp voraus und dann in einem wilden Galopp voraus, wenn du die Emotion in Krishna investierst. Good. I want to end here. Thank you very much. All the best. Hare Krishna.